Luke chapter 1, the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth. I want you to notice, it's easy for us, if we're not careful, to look at the possibilities of heaven, of the future, but look at the probabilities of life. Well, I know what's probably going to happen. This is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. And, you know, I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm not going to be able to do that. Because we're looking at the probabilities of life and not the possibilities of God. Notice, if you would, in verse 37 of Luke chapter 1. The angel says this, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Now, I just want to encourage you today. I want you to see in Zechariah's life that he had possibilities for the future. He believed that the Messiah was coming. He believed God when he said and read in Scripture that the Redeemer was coming. But he struggled with the life decisions. He didn't believe his wife could have a child. And I want you to notice today, you and I may, I don't believe the Lord can give me that job. I don't believe the Lord can make my job where it's this way. Or I don't believe the Lord can work in this person's heart. Or I don't believe the Lord can do this in this relationship. I just don't believe the Lord can do that. We're looking at the probabilities, but we're not looking at the possibilities when God steps in. And it happens to all of us. Now, I want you to notice, in order to have the possibilities, in other words, in order to have God bless us like we hope for, there are some requirements. Notice, if you would, in verse number 6, it says, "And they were both righteous." Well, this word righteous is legally righteous. They had both been saved. They had both trusted Christ as Savior. Now, we know that. Look, if you would, in Luke chapter 1, if you would, in verse number 43, this is Elizabeth speaking. "And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And notice, if you would, "the mother of my Lord." So she had trusted the Lord as Savior. And you'll notice that Zacharias had trusted the Lord. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number 69, "and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." So both of them had put their faith and trust in Christ. They didn't know who he was. They were looking forward to one day the Messiah would come. One day the Lamb of God would come. And it's kind of a unique thing to me that here is Zechariah saying, watching in Scripture, I know the Lord promised the Messiah. I know he promised the Messiah. And that his own son would be the one to make the statement, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And so what a great joy that his own son fulfilled or was able to point out the fulfillment of Scripture. But he knew it also. Now, these are the spiritual things in his life. But what about the practical things? Well, notice number one, they were more righteous before God. They had trusted Christ as Savior, walking in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Now, what they had done was they decided that both of them, now I want you to understand, this wasn't just Zacharias. This was Elizabeth also. They both had said to each other, "Let's serve the Lord. Let you and I walk together and please the Lord. Let's pray together. Let's have clean lives together. Could I plead with you as couples? Could I plead with you if you're in this room, you're married, that you would walk right like Zacharias and Elizabeth did?" Notice, if you would, he says this. They're both righteous before God. You've got to look at the Lord and say what he thinks is the most important to me. Everybody in this room. You and I need to get our eyes off of the things of this life and say, "Lord, what you think is important to me." Before God, this is one of the things that makes them truly spiritual. Why in the world do you think God, of all the people that ever lived, chose them to send the forerunner of Christ to? Because they were both righteous. They both said, "Lord, what you think is important to me." And I see in this passage and I say, "Lord, help me to be like that." Now, as soon as it's in heaven, I still want to say, "Lord, I want to be righteous in your sight." Everybody in this room, you've got to decide, what you're going to be before God. You can't shirk the responsibility. If you've trusted Christ as Savior, God is watching. The eyes of the Lord in every place beholding the evil and the good, Proverbs 15:3. The Lord is watching and He loves you. And He's pulling for you to do what is right. And the Bible says, behold, we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Hebrews chapter 12. Let aside every sin. The sin does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Do you realize we're being watched today? Every one of you are being watched. Daniel's watching. Job is watching. Zacharias is watching. Elizabeth is watching. Abraham's wife Sarah is watching. Mary is watching. Mary, the one that gave her broken box ingredients to Jesus, is watching. The one that Jesus said, tell the story of what she did. She gave me everything all over the world. When you tell the gospel, you tell what Mary did. Do you understand today that those people are watching? The people that were martyred for Christ. Peter, crucified upside down, is watching. I don't think they understand. I think they're pulling for us. But I don't think they understand that we decide we're going to do our own thing after Jesus paid the same thing for them as He did for us. The cross. And so I look at it and I say, oh my goodness, I can't believe Daniel is watching. One of, I guess, perhaps my greatest hero in Scripture is Daniel. One reason. Nothing negative is said about Daniel. He always did the right thing. Lord, that's what I want to be like. I want to be like Daniel. And so Daniel is watching. So I want to do the right thing. But the greatest reason is I know my Savior is watching. I think we forget about that. Young people, I don't know that you realize that, but it's apparent, it's imperative for us to teach our children that their Lord is watching them and He loves them and He's pulling for them. These two, husband and wife, they realize that before God. And they said, okay, we're going to walk right. Now, you notice, if you would, notice in verse number 6, he uses the word blameless. And it literally is the word that deserving no censure. In other words, no one can say anything about you did this or you did that. There's no one that can say a negative word about you. Not even your wife. Not even your husband. Now, understand this, if you would. The key to this passage is that it doesn't say the husband and wife, they were blameless before. Let's read the verse again. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord, blameless. They were blameless so that the Lord did not have an account against them. Now that tells me two things. Number one, they strive with all their might to do what's right. But when they made a mistake, they quickly said, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. So that God never had an extended period of time where He said, you're bitter. You're jealous. They were blameless. They weren't perfect. But they so wanted to be perfect that they were good for each other. They encouraged each other. Can you imagine a husband that maybe says something to his wife without thinking about it? Maybe it's a little short or it's a little this or that. And he looks right at her and says, honey, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it that way. Will you forgive me? What kind of a relationship would that be? Heavenly. Because God is watching. That was this couple. They were before the Lord blameless. They didn't tolerate sin in their lives. Do we tolerate sin in our lives? Do you understand God has got purposes for all of us in this room? I don't know what it is. I don't know what the purpose is for your life. I was talking to some of the young people this morning. What do you feel like the Lord wants you to do? Well, I feel like the Lord wants me to do this, or this, or this. And that's wonderful. But if I were to look at Brother Spencer or Brother Kevin or Brother Rick and say, what do you think the Lord wants you to do with your life from here on out? Well, we need to think about that, Lord. I want to do what You want me to do. I want to please You. And I look at this couple here, and the number one goal they had was to be blameless. I want to be without sin. Now, I want you to notice, God uses people that are clean. Are we clean this morning? God answers the prayers of people that are clean. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66:19. So if you and I regard iniquity, if we hold a spot for iniquity in our heart, if we tolerate sin, the Bible says, the Lord says, I'll not hear your prayers. So understand this. There are times when the Lord delays in answering our prayers for reason. You find in the book of Daniel chapter 9, God delayed 21 days because there was a battle going on in heaven. It was between Michael the archangel and the old devil and the demons of hell. They were trying to keep the angels from coming with the answer to Daniel. But God let them break through. But he allowed Daniel to pray for 21 days before the answer came. But when it did come, he said, Daniel, you're greatly beloved. And God sent me with this answer to you. So God does send answers to people that are holy, that are righteous, that are blameless. Now, you'll notice, if you would, verse 7. You notice they were both saved, they were both godly, and they both had an issue that burdened them. And maybe you're here today, I know people in this room have issues, burdens, things that are weighing heavy on your heart. What do we do with them? Well, if you want the God of heaven to hear, there's a couple things that have to happen. We need to be blameless. We need to be saved. We need to be blameless. And we need to talk to him about it. In faith, believing it's possible. Notice, if you would, verse 7. Here's the issue. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. Now, I want to explain this to you. Number one, it's important to her because I'll give you some reasons. She wanted to bear a son for her husband. She wanted him to have a son, someone to carry on the family name. That was important to her. But God had kept her from bearing a child. But on top of that, notice with me, if you would, in verse 25. Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days where he looked upon me to take away my reproach among men. In that day, a wife that could not bear children was looked down on. Something's wrong with her. She's not a very good wife. And they would look down on her. And they would reproach her. And she was not considered a good wife, a good value. And so she carried this her whole life, the reproach of men. Men would see her and walk on. Make comments about her. She was reproached. No one likes that. And you begin to look at it and say, Lord, if that's what you want from me, if you want me to be reproached of men, Lord, it's okay. But could I have a son? And so we don't know how long it was, but we know she was past childbearing. She was an older lady. And then you'll notice, if you would, and Zacharias was burdened too. But I want you to see the way he prayed. Now, understand, any burden that's in our heart, whether it's a wayward child or whether it's an issue at work, or whether it's a financial issue or it's a health issue. Look, there's a God in heaven that loves you. Do we have the faith to believe that all things are possible? That's the key. Or do we just look at it, well, it probably won't happen? There's a big difference. And the difference is one thing. Are we going to trust the Lord to answer our prayer? We'll trust him no matter what. And so you'll notice, if you would, keep in mind, in verse number 12, and when Zacharias saw him, this is the angel, and we know that this angel's name is Gabriel. Notice, if you would, in verse 19, and the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand before God, in the presence of God. So Gabriel is an important angel. Michael is an important angel. They're listed in Scripture. Most angels are not listed in Scripture. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, the angels are sent to be ministering spirits to all of us. So, you ever heard of a guardian angel? I think that's the verse that it comes from. There are some people that they put their guardian angel to a lot of work to take care of them. When they drive, or when they ride a motorcycle, or when they jump out of an airplane with this little sheet on their back. I mean, they put the angel to a lot of work. But I remind you that there are angels that watch out for us. Do we say, Lord, I want to please you? Now look, it's for every young person in this room. If you want the possibilities of your dreams to come true, you've got to learn to live right. You've got to learn to say, Lord, I'm trying to do what's right. Could I talk to you about this? You've got to understand there's a God in heaven that does love you. He knows your name. He knows the head of how many hairs are on your head. He sees your thoughts. He knows you. He loves you. Do you understand that the God of heaven, why Christmas even exists? It doesn't exist that we can have Christmas trees and presents under it. It exists because the God of heaven loved you and wanted you in heaven with Him. And so He sent His Son to pay our debt of sin forever. And the story is, go tell it on the mountain. Jesus died for you. He died for sinners. That's the story. But it'll have no weight if you and I don't live right. And we'll not gain the victories in our life that we want unless we learn how to pray. Now follow with me, verse 13. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias. In verse 12, after Zacharias saw Gabriel, and he was troubled in verse 12, and fear fell upon him. If you and I ever saw an angel, it would terrify us. Just the brightness of his glory would terrify us. They're all around us. I know that for a fact. Elisha said to his servant, Lord, would you let my servant see there are more to be with us than to be with them? And he opened the servant's eyes. Perhaps Gehazi looked around and saw angels fill the heavens. I'm sure he looked around and saw angels in the room. Do you understand that it's a true statement? I think the old devil gets us going in life and we just begin to look at all the probabilities of life. Well, this won't happen. That won't happen. This won't happen. And we don't look at the idea that there's a God in heaven that knows me and it is possible. Today, are you looking at the probabilities or the possibilities? And so, notice, keep in mind verse 13. I love this part. You got to follow with me. The humanity of Zacharias. Now, Zacharias, when we get to heaven, we're going to find out was one of the great Christians to ever live. I mean, clean, holy, always faithful to do his job, a good husband. But you'll notice, if you would, in verse 13, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias. He was human. When he saw the angel, he was afraid. But notice what the angel said. For thy prayer is heard. By whom? By the God of heaven. All your prayers that you... And notice, your prayer's heard. Apparently, he had one prayer that he had been praying for years. He'd been bombarding heaven, and now they were both old and couldn't have children, but he was still praying. That's why we never give up. That's why you don't give up on people. How many of you have done enough things that we ought not to have done that God could have given up on you? But He didn't. And we can't give up either. We can't give up on people. We can't give up on family. We can't give up on the will of God, no matter how difficult it is. We have to learn to pray even though it doesn't look probable. But all things are possible if we trust Him. Now, this took a miracle. A miracle is something that defies all the odds, all the probabilities. But that's our God. Do you know what defies all the probabilities? That the God that made this universe would know my name and care for me to trade His Son for my sin. That defies all the probabilities in the universe. But it came because of one reason. He loves us. So if God loves me and He loves you, then everything is possible. So notice, if you would, verse 13, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. What prayer? And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. So it looks like he's praying for two things. Number one, Lord, could I have a child? Two, could it be a son? Someone that would carry on my name, and someone that would praise you and worship you, someone that would be able to preach the gospel. He was praying for a child and for a son. Now you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 14, I don't think he was praying for this, but I do think that when we pray in faith about the possibilities, this comes with them. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. I do think that whenever you and I put the Lord first in our life and our prayers and rejoice in the possibilities and not the probabilities, that it's going to benefit a lot of people. There's going to be a lot of joy go around. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number 15, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. I want you to know something. Jeremy's not here today. No vacation. The greatest thing that I have in this life is that Jeremy wants to do what's right. And it's always been the way it was. The man who wants to do what's right. Then Micah, Michaela, and Malachi. And I pray for that every day. It is my prayer for Zacharias. Lord, please. I'm not looking at the possibilities, at the probabilities. I know what they are. I was a youth pastor for 14 years. I saw the probabilities. Lord, I want your possibilities. And I'm not going to stop praying. Jeremy's 44, I think, 43, 44. I don't know. Maybe he's listening. I don't know. I forgot. But we can all always choose to do wrong. I'm not going to stop praying. Because I see right here. Now, I think now I'm very thankful that he's trying to do what's right. But I want you to know something. I'm not going to stop that prayer. I have one family left. You might be watching. I have one family left. We're not saved. I pray for them every morning. Prayed for them today. And I told the Lord, Lord, I know it's not probable, but you can do anything. Would you please not let them die and go to hell? Lord, please. Now, I know what God wants. He wants the same thing. But I know what God will not do. He will not force someone to trust him. But he can put a lot of pressure on them. He can make life very difficult until they look up and say, Lord, help me. He did it with Jonah. He did it with David. He can do it because of my prayers and because of your prayers. But notice, if you would, and I love this passage, and I'll tell you why. Because there are times that I say, Lord, it just doesn't look like it's ever going to come to pass. I prayed for my dad's twin brother to get saved for 50 years, I guess. He got saved on his deathbed. If you would have told me the probability of him getting saved, I would have said it would have been that. The filthiest mouth man I've ever met. Couldn't say a sentence in front of men, women, presidents. It wouldn't matter. The vulgarity was the same. He had no pride. Didn't matter. Lord, could you save Uncle Earl? He died. I thought it was lost. My dad called me and said, son, got to tell you something that God did. And told the story of a couple coming to his room in the hospital when he was dying, and led him to Christ. Notice, if you would, in verse number 18, verse number 17, and he shall go before him in the spirit. In other words, in verse 16, he says he's going to turn many people to the Lord. Now, can you imagine Zacharias? His ears are just about to explode. His heart's about to explode. You're telling me I'm going to have a son? You're telling me I'm going to have a son that's a preacher? You're telling me I'm going to have the forerunner of Jesus Christ? You're telling me that? You're telling me that he's going to turn much of the world back to Christ? And can you imagine the joy that must have been in his heart? And notice in verse 17, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You mean you're going to give me a son and he's going to be a great, one of the greatest preachers to ever live. And the Bible says there's not been a man born among women better than John the Baptist. You mean you're going to answer that prayer for that reason? Lord, you're going to answer my prayer and give me more than what I could ever ask for? And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? He didn't say that. He didn't think that. You know what he did? He says, what kind of evidence do you give me that you're going to answer this prayer? Isn't that just like us? Isn't that just like, and that's just like me. Lord, I know you said you'd answer the prayer, but Lord, could you prove it to me first? Isn't that just like us? Lord, could you just give me a little evidence? The Lord says, where's your faith? Where's your possibilities? Won't you trust me? I can do anything. John the Baptist was born to this man, this woman, when it was past time. And you'll notice the response of John was just like Pittman's response. Lord, could you prove it to me? Wow, how arrogant. I'd have to get down on my knees and say, oh Lord, forgive me. Again. But notice the graciousness of God. Notice verse 18. Whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is well stricken in years. Lord, it's too late. If I would have been the angel, you know what I said? Anybody know what I would have said? Well, then why were you praying? If it's too late, why did you even ask? You know what the obvious answer to that question is? Because it's never too late. It's always possible. And look at verse 37. Look at it if you would. Verse 37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Let's learn that lesson this Christmas. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Don't look at the probabilities. Look at the possibilities. Because God can do anything. And so you'll notice if you would in verse number 18. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. I am not just a nobody. I want you to understand that. I am Gabriel, an angel that stands in the presence of God. Do you understand this is important? Number one reason you're going to get your answers to prayer is because God sent me. Do you understand? All of a sudden, now I look at it and says, whoa. Now watch. Look what happens. And am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. Why aren't you smiling? Why don't you look at me and say, what are you going to, how are you going to prove that to me? That's just like me. I pray without faith. But I'm still praying. And do you believe God answers the faithful prayer with very little faith? Don't give up praying. Don't give up the possibilities for the probabilities. The probabilities will always disappoint you. Spiritually, all the probabilities will disappoint you. Probably not going to do what's right. Probably not going to get rid of that sin. Probably not going to forgive me. Probably not going to grow. Can I tell you, the greatest disappointment that I have as a pastor . The Bible says in Titus that the older women are to teach the younger women. The older men are to teach younger men. That tells me that the 60, 70-year-old men ought to be the greatest soul winners, the greatest prayer warriors, the holiest Christians, and the best husbands on the face of the earth. I don't see that. necessarily, as a whole. So you know what? I carry a weight on my shoulders that I should have preached differently. I should have prayed longer before I preached. I should have pled for more power. Because what God expects is not what I see. I'm disappointed. But I can't imagine what He's like. Could I challenge you, if you've known Christ for 20 years, to be holy? To have great answers to prayer? To walk with the Lord? So that the younger people can say, hey, could I ask you a question? And the answer would always be right. Spiritual. I'm reminded, Lord, please bless our church. Bless our men. Bless our wives. Bless our young people. I'm tired of seeing young people go the wrong way. I want to see young people do what's right. But I can pray. I know what the probabilities are, but I also know what the possibilities are. And I'll choose to stick with the possibilities and with what the Lord said. And then notice, if you would, in verse number 19, and the angel answering said, I am Gabriel, to stand in the presence of God, and sent to speak unto thee and show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. And notice what he says, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. So he looks at him and he says, you're not going to be able to use your voice for the next 9 months because you didn't believe me, the Gabriel of heaven. God sent me to give you the answer to your prayer and you didn't believe me. He was praying, but not with great faith. Is that us today? Is that us? Now, I want you to notice, Zacharias knew about the first Christmas. Look, if you would, look over in verse number 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He's saying, Jesus is coming. He's going to redeem his people. He's here. The baby Jesus is here. He's the Redeemer. He knew that. He knew the first Christmas was about Jesus being born in a manger, being born to save sinners. He knew that. Notice, if you would, verse 69. And hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved. Now, do you understand? He said, I've been reading the scriptures, and I know that he's going to send a Redeemer. And he has. And so he knew the first Christmas was there. But he didn't have the faith to believe Gabriel when he looked him in the eye and said, your prayer is heard. How do I know that? Do you understand? I'm glad that Zacharias was there and not me, because I would have said the same thing. Today, let's look at the possibilities. Can you imagine the joy that was in his heart? And then, on top of that, the angel says, now let's go back over and notice, if you would. Notice, if you would, he's supposed to name him a different name. He's supposed to name him John. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number 21, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long. Well, you'll notice that he waits. He's supposed to name him John. He goes home. And look in verse number 61. And they said unto her, after John's born, they said unto her, there's none of thy kindred that is called by this name. Look, if you would, in verse number 59. It came to pass, when on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child and name the child, they call him Zacharias after the name of his father. The name of the father is carried on. And his mother answered and said, not so. Remember, Zacharias can't talk yet. Not so. But he should be called John. And you understand that it shall be called John, it shall be called John. Well, why is this? Because John is the story of Jesus. It means the Savior. It means that the Savior has come. And so he says, look, in verse number 60, he shall be called John. In verse 61, they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. He still can't speak. And they made signs to his father how he would have him be called. What is your opinion? And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, his name is John. Why? Because God named him, not me. I'm going to stick with it. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loose, and he spake and praised God. Now he has faith. Now he knows. And he knows who this baby is. He's the forerunner of Jesus Christ. So today, could I just challenge you? The story here is about humans. It's about people like us. Zacharias and Elizabeth. That could be given to any man and woman in this room. It could be given to us. Teenagers, you could be chosen like John. But the question is, would you fulfill what God's called you to do? I want you to listen to this. God is not chosen for any teenager to do the wrong thing. He hasn't chosen for one of you teenagers or one of you young people to sass your parents or do the wrong thing or fall into lust or covetousness or bitterness. He hadn't called one of you to do that. He's called every one of you to put Jesus first and to live a holy life. That's the call of God on every teenager's life in this room. Question is, will you obey him? And the call of God on every adult in this room is to give the example that people could look at you and say, I want to be like that. I want to be like Elizabeth. I want to be like Zacharias. I want to be blameless. And as they went everywhere telling the truth, I'll remind you of this. I guarantee you that Zacharias, after this event happened, after he sees the pregnancy of his wife, after he sees John born, after he sees the name, his name is John, and his voice comes back. Remember, look back if you would, in Luke chapter 1, in verse number 20. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words. They'll be performed, but it's not going to be that you're going to end up, you're not going to have your voice back until everything that I've said is true. Now notice, verse 13. The completion of everything was the name. It wasn't the birth. Notice, thy wife, verse 13, Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. So he doesn't get his voice back, and I'm certain he's thinking about, when am I going to get my voice back? My wife is pregnant, when am I going to get my voice back? When his name is called John. So because he had been living right and doing what's right, he waited until the very eighth day. And whenever they said, tell us, what is your opinion? His name is John. And I guarantee you, right after that, he expected, and he opened his mouth and his voice worked. Because he had learned to have a faith in the possibilities and not the probabilities. The odds are when you lose your voice for a year, you're not getting it back. But again, you learned a lesson. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. What is it you're facing today that's impossible? Could I challenge you to be like Zacharias? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Are you still praying? Even praying with almost all probability, it's not going to work. But maybe God hears. Today, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Let's bow our heads forward to prayer. It's Christmas. It's Christmas week. Could I challenge you? Let's learn the lesson of Zacharias. All things are possible. Could I challenge you? We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. If you need to come to this altar and say, Lord, I need to take my eyes off the probabilities and put them on the possibilities. Lord, help me to do that. Lord, help me to pray even though it seems impossible. That's what Zacharias was doing. He was too old to have children, but still praying. But he didn't really believe when the answer came. That would be us. Let's put the Lord first today and believe all things are possible. Lord Jesus, speak to hearts today. We need your attention. Lord, we need your blessing. We need your power upon our lives. Because, Lord Jesus, we can't do things without you. Lord, we can't accomplish the things of life without you. Lord, would you put your hand of blessing upon us? Increase our faith that you can do anything. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. In your precious Son's name we pray. Amen. Let's